My name is Andy Stabe, and what means the most to me in life? Well, that's easy. My family, my friends, and the Grateful Dead. Welcome to Grateful Dad and Friends. We all have a story to tell, and Grateful Dad and Friends is a platform where I'll be joined by a few of those friends and family who can share their stories. Stories of their love of music, their family and their friends, and anything else they want to share with the world. So here goes. Let's see where the energy takes us.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp-strung, would you hear my voice?
Welcome back to Grateful Dad and Friends, Season 2, Episode 5. I'm not sure why I broke it up into season one and two. I could have just kind of stuck with a running sequence, but season two. And today I have in the studio one of the prettiest and most special young ladies in my world, Miss Carly Stabe. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Similar to last week, where, you know, I include some notes. I don't know that I'll need very many of those because I know most of Carly's history, but not all, not all. I don't know all her secrets. So, Carly, you know that most of the time we talk music, so we'll go there. But I always like hearing, you know, what my guests, like what their earliest recollections of music were. Like what do you recall besides maybe what TJ was playing? What were mom and dad playing?
TJ's music was a little different than mom and dad's. It still is, but my family was and still is pretty big on music, and it's almost always playing around the house. I think my earliest recollection of music growing up was the Stones. My dad's ringtone was the Grateful Dead, so it's always been Grateful Dead. His phone rang a lot.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Sugar Magnolia. Yep, Sugar Magnolia.
That's right, yeah.
And a lot of Van Morrison, John Mayer.
Yeah, yeah.
We had Loud Music Fridays growing up, so that was a big thing in the Stabe household.
Yeah, I think TJ talked about that. Yeah, yeah. I like that Loud Music Friday.
Yeah, everyone's done with work for the weekend. You come home and you have a beer or a glass of wine, and God willing, it's nice out and the sun's out, and you're just putting on some loud music and enjoying yourself after a long week.
So that's great.
That was always my mom's way to start off the weekend on a good note.
Does she still do that? If she doesn't, she should. We should nudge her too.
Not religiously every Friday, but most, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely should start doing it more.
Well, I guess this was like maybe before and shortly after you were born. Mom and Dad's house was fun. Not that it's not fun.
I always hear, you know, but I always say I wish I could hang out with you guys when you're 20 years old or something.
we had some really, really fun late loud nights. We really did. I remember, I don't know if it was a bachelor party or something, but one of the nights went well into the morning, and it was not my best work. and Bubba, Dad, you know, my dad, who you call Big Daddy, was coming over, I think, I don't know, it was 9 or 10 in the morning, and I had still yet to go to sleep. So I think I hid from him somewhere.
You got to have a good bender once in a while.
Yeah. But it was always music related. So, yeah, right. You bring up like Van Morrison. Was that, trying to think, was that Mom and Dad's wedding song? Was something, some Van Morrison?
I think it was. I can't recall which one, which I probably should know that I'm thinking about
we'll
it.
We'll have to find, yeah, I should know. I was the best man. All right, we might have to edit this out.
Yeah, you were
at
the wedding. I wasn't.
You didn't exist yet. Yeah. So what about you then? What are we talking? We're talking like the late 90s? Oh, and by the way, for our listeners, that's not Carly snorting.
Yes, so sorry. I brought my my furry friend Sophie with me along today, and she wants to make a debut on the podcast.
Sophie, yes, the beautiful bulldog. So bring me back to maybe some of the earliest stuff that you remember.
As far as like music in my house or like
Yeah, if you have recollections of, I don't know, what floated your boat, maybe at, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 or anything like that.
I think like most girls, I think still to this day, Taylor Swift was a big one.
Yeah.
She was actually one of my first concerts. with you, actually, and Hope and my dad.
Right, down in
The four of
Philly?
Us went for Hope and I's birthday.
Right.
And I still think my dad would say today that that would be one of his top concerts.
That was great.
She was the most unexpected, but she's an amazing performer, and now she's an incredible performer. But I got her in the earlier days. Would love to go to one of her concerts now. But I think she was a big one for me. And then actually my first concert was Billy Joel, which is unrealistic for, I was 10 years old.
Was that with Sydney?
Yes. Ruggles? Two good friends of mine, Kylie and Sydney, are actually related to Billy, as we say, Uncle Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very lucky enough to attend one of the concerts at MSG with their family. And Billy Joel was actually one of my first concerts. So I can't say as a 10-year-old that what most people can relate to as Billy Joel. But I've always been a huge fan, and that was an awesome experience. Kind of being backstage, I really got the whole experience of a concert, an abnormal experience for a first one.
Yeah, that was first
class. So I'm very lucky.
I actually didn't know that. So the connection with Billy Joel is with Sydney's dad.
Yes, right? Mr. Ruggles.
Right, Brian.
Brian right, is the sound producer for Billy.
Gotcha, right. So and these are his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're the goddaughter, Billy's
Billy
goddaughters.
Joel. Right, right. Okay. That's a pretty good in.
Yeah, he's Uncle Billy now to me. He said it to me, and I'm going to hold on to that one for a while.
That's amazing. I've only seen Billy Joel once there.
Yeah. A handful of his concerts since, and he's great.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
It's better.
I feel like he's one of these performers that hasn't really missed a beat, like vocally. I mean, of course, you know, his talent on the piano, but vocally, I'm always surprised that after all these years, he sounds as good as he does.
I know. And he came out, he hasn't released a new song in a while, but he just came out the new song. And,
right.
But he doesn't need to. His originals are still sticking to this day. Yeah, that's what's so awesome about his music.
Right. Yeah. He's something else. He's something else. We got to catch him before he winds up the run that he does so often at the Garden, right?
Yeah,
Or did he do that? Did I miss that?
No, he's still performing at the Garden monthly, I believe.
Yeah, I think he and maybe Fish and even the Grateful Dead are in fact, I know those three are up there for the most performances ever at Madison Square Garden, right? He might even have the title.
I think he might.
But let's get back to Taylor Swift for a second, because I think the concert that you and Tom and Hope and I went to might have even been my second Taylor Swift concert. Either that or is the first. And then Hope and I went to another one with Cornell and Nikki.
Awesome.
But I give Taylor Swift, actually, I guess I would give Hope the credit for turning me on to Taylor Swift, because I never really cared much about country music. And at that time, Taylor Swift, she was pretty much country, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Like way back?
I didn't really either. But I think, honestly, to this day, I think I've started to like country a lot more, maybe because of her. But I've definitely found myself listening to country a lot more.
Yeah. She's migrated a little bit more like mainstream. In fact, a lot more mainstream. But yeah, she was definitely the catalyst for me, really. Like, I have country on my presets now. And
I do, too. I have a country top 100. Yeah, it's playing on the way over here, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like country. I like Jason Aldean or, I don't know, Tim McGraw a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to a Kenny Chesney concert this summer in Philly.
Nice.
I'm excited about, and last summer saw Zach Bryan. So I'm definitely getting my feet wet more with the country. Those are the past few concerts I've been to or will be going to, which is funny. I really never thought I would be going to all these country concerts.
No, good for you.
They're fun, though.
You go, cowgirl.
Great vibes and good people and get to dress up in a fun way.
Did you? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Speaking of that, did you ever see Jimmy Buffett?
I did, at Jones Beach, I think.
Did you?
Years back.
Talk about like the dressing up and the parrot heads. I didn't.
The Hawaiian shirts. Yeah. And those tailgates were fun. Although I was not 21 yet, but they were still fun.
Well, you probably got away with some shenanigans.
Maybe.
Hope saw Jimmy Buffett, I think once. But God bless him. Yeah, we lost him too young. I didn't even know he was sick until it was.
I didn't either.
The news kind of broke. Sorry, I didn't see him. Because the parrot heads are apparently not unlike the deadheads, right? Fanatical.
No, there's nothing like the Deadheads, though. although I guess I'm more of a Deadhead than a Jimmy Buffett fan, so I don't know. I haven't been to enough concerts.
All right, so speaking of the Grateful Dead, so remind me what year you were born.
97.
Okay, 97. So Jerry Garcia died in 1995. Mm-hmm. So do you remember what, were there some like early kind of Grateful Dead-ish type bands that... I know we've been to, say, Dark Star Orchestra.
Mm, I think, honestly, just Dead & Co.
Dead & Co. Okay. Yeah.
I've gone to a handful.
City Field?
Yeah. City Field, Dead & Co.
That counts?
Does it?
Yeah, it definitely
does in my book. Gone to a handful of those concerts, either friends, family, both.
Yeah.
Those are always fun. John Mayer, when he was still with them.
Yeah. It's funny. Dead & Company announced last summer their like farewell tour, yada, yada, yada. But it turns out that they're still going to be
playing.
They've
said a few times their farewell tour.
Yeah. It's sometimes I think
one way to get you to buy a ticket.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
It's a good marketing tactic.
It is. But I think they justify it by saying, well, they're not going to be touring the country, but they're doing about 30 shows in a row at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Oh, I did see that. Up this summer, right?
This summer, starting, I think, in May or like early May or what have you. So they're not done.
No.
If anything, they're...
That would be an awesome concert.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out there in June and see a couple of those. We'll see what the Sphere holds. Apparently, it's very, very steep. If you've heard anything about it, the construction, like inside it, apparently the seating is steep. So like if you have like kind of fear of heights or like vertigo, be careful.
I didn't know that. Enter with caution.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move into like more about like what's cooking today. Well, tell me about L'Oreal. Because I'm proud of you. I feel like just to give maybe listeners a little backstory, Carly's been with L'Oreal and she's been faithful and loyal to them now for a number of years, but it wasn't always easy, right? I don't think you were sure that it was the right place for you.
I definitely wasn't.
I don't want to put words in your
mouth. That's fair. I now like to consider myself a L'Oreal baby, as we say in the beauty world. But I graduated in 2019 from High Point University with zero clue of what I wanted to do. I graduated with a marketing degree. And I came home and I'm like, now what?
Right. That's popular sentiment after graduation.
I checked the mark of getting my degree and now I'm like, okay, next step is become a real adult and get a job.
Right.
And I started talking to a recruiting agency just to kind of get my feet wet in the beauty world to see. I liked fashion. Mm-hmm. I liked beauty products, but I didn't really know much about it, but I knew marketing. And I actually started working at L'Oreal for a temp coordinator position for only about 8 weeks. So I wasn't under L'Oreal. I was under a contract. And they said after 8 weeks, you kind of get the boot. And I was like, that's a challenge to me. And after working there for those 8 weeks, I was offered a intern position. For context, in order to kind of step into L'Oreal as a college graduate, you can only enter as a intern within the first 12 months of graduating.
Oh, that's a L'Oreal stipulation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
So I was an intern for marketing for Maison Margiela, which is a designer fragrance company or brand.
Under L'Oreal?
Yes.
Okay.
And then that's kind of when COVID hit and it was chaotic for everyone. In especially the job world.
Did you take any time off right after school and kind of goof off or like what a lot of us did?
I wish I took a little more time, but then I don't think I'd be where I am today. So I'm glad I didn't. I only took about a month.
Okay.
Graduated in May and I think mid-June I started working at L'Oreal and I'm still here.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. I'm on my third position.
Right.
I guess coming up on 5 years.
Uh-huh.
24. Uh-huh. Yeah. We'll be coming up on 5 years this summer and just recently promoted in the luxury division.
Woo!
So
you go, girl.
I'm trying to make my dad proud. And he said, actually, one of the last convos I had with him was, you're going to go far at L'Oreal. So I kind of hold that in the back of my head most days that I don't like the job or I'm kind of over it or struggling with it. I know that I can do it.
Well, couple things are super impressive. One is that you've stuck with it because it's easy to bounce around a little bit, especially that, you know, when you're kind of fresh out of college. I think it's easy to not be sure if the first job is the right job, et cetera. But it also looks good in the event down the road. Let's say, you know, you move on to something else in a few years. It shows that you're not bouncing around, that you have loyalty.
I think I see
that it means a lot.
Both ways. I've always toyed around of, oh, should I be somewhere else? But I think I'm right where I need to be right now for me. L'Oreal, I feel there's a ton of opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And even over these past few years being there, I'm growing and I'm meeting new people and I'm going through new challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I started off in marketing and now I'm in digital marketing. I started off on one brand and now I work across 15.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm working with a lot of different people across a lot of different brands, across skincare and makeup and fragrance. So I'm not doing the same thing every day and I'm kind of learning different parts. And my new job, it's different than my last. So I think essentially it kind of feels like I'm somewhere new working. I'm still in the same division. I think one day my goal would be L'Oreal has multiple different divisions. We own over like 40 brands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the designer division.
Right.
So I think there's opportunity. If I go to a different division, it will kind of feel like a new role or a new company. But right now I'm happy with it and it's been challenging me. And I think there's so much opportunity for me to grow there but it's definitely in the back of my head of maybe the competitor one day, Estee Lauder. But,
yeah,
you know.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I mean is that I think if that happened, I think Estee Lauder wouldn't go unnoticed that you haven't been bouncing around.
Yeah.
So I kudos for that. And I think that's smart. I know if I look at resumes for whatever our position we might have, it's always a little bit of a red flag if you see like
just a year,
10 different positions over 8 to 10 years or something.
Yeah. You my say, resume well,
how long
is
are
pretty
they
much
last here?
L'Oreal and then like 3 to 4 different jobs underneath it, all in different areas. So
yeah.
I feel like that's helped me, but
super cool. Well, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I mean that. So Carly, once in a while, I go a little out of sequence in the chronology of my guests' lives. I'll do it again here. So now we're going to go in reverse. One of the many things that I love and I respect about you is your courage. And that was particularly like shining a few years ago when you had a health, I guess you'd call it a health scare with myasthenia gravis. And for those who don't know what it is, I'm actually going to let you describe it a little because certainly you know it better than I do, but you have faced it head on.
Yeah.
And if you can describe, you know, where you're at today, because I don't say miracle.
I feel
but
like
you
I've
would never
had
know
one.
That you had, you know, such a like a mountain to climb. You'd never know it.
Yeah. A little context on myasthenia gravis, as I like to say, MG. It's a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
It is a autoimmune condition. Essentially, it is different for everyone, but it is a muscle weakness condition. It can heavily lie behind your eyes, your arms and your legs, essentially anywhere in your body. Luckily, mine was not nearly as much in my face, but I guess a little context, this kind of rewinding a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There was a day in about 8th grade, a random day. I came home. I actually remember the exact day. I came home from Hope's birthday party at the Melting Pot.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that restaurant was so cool. It was my first time there.
Yeah,
and I was so super excited to come home
place,
and
right?
tell the fondue place.
Yeah.
And I was super excited to come home and tell my mom and dad about it. And as I'm explaining this story to them, just a normal day and night, I stopped talking in the middle of my sentence because I couldn't speak. Huh. There no words were coming out of my mouth and I had no idea what was going on and neither did my parents. And that was kind of like the first flag of, something's weird about that or something doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And then just from there, it kind of just went downhill real quickly for me. I wouldn't be able to talk. It turned into I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I'd have to text my mom or dad before getting ready to go to middle school. I had to text my mom and say, can you help me get out? I can't lift my neck or I can't brush my hair, can't walk up the stairs. My whole body essentially just went weak, everything. I couldn't swallow my own saliva at some points because the muscles in my face weren't working.
Mm.
I could always see. My eye never really got it behind my eyes. I know some people who have it is heavily on the eyes.
Right.
it's different for everyone, but I essentially just, I couldn't move. I was so weak.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
How quickly was that onset? Remind me, because I do remember the time, but I don't remember just how quickly, because that's dramatic.
It was very dramatic. It was literally overnight. The next day, I literally could not speak still.
Yeah.
I really couldn't lift my arms to brush my hair to go to school. And I remember I still went to school. It kind of like started in my arms and like my upper body. And then it kind of went into my legs. And that's like months later and everything. Yeah. But I still went to school. And that was hard trying to get your class participation. And sometimes I'd be called on and I literally could not speak. That was traumatizing for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I remember that like it was
yesterday.
This
is middle school?
This is middle school.
And middle school is hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My teacher like called socially. On me in eighth grade. I will never forget it to read a paragraph. And I couldn't. So I ran out of the classroom.
Oh my
crying.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's when I came home. I went to the nurse and I went home and my mom and dad, we just kind of went heads down on doctor appointment after doctor appointment. It was actually about a year of doctor's appointments before we were able to figure out what was going on because mm-hmm. myasthenia gravis is so rare, especially in young women like me. It's mm-hmm. kind of a typical, not typical. It's more
atypical. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more common. So they say for women like over 40 years old and I was a teenager. So they didn't think after many, many tests, I was finally, I guess,
diagnosed
with myasthenia gravis.
Right.
And that's where I became on medicine like every 4 hours and a hell of a lot of prednisone. I didn't sleep for a few years after prednisone.
You were very productive.
I was very productive. The house was always clean. I was always eating food. And
right. Well, so that's been quite the journey because, again, you would never know it. I mean, really, you have no traces that I see or that I think the rest of the world could ever see. Thank God. How was the rest of the journey? Because obviously, it didn't happen overnight.
It was a long one.
Yeah.
I think taking medication when you're that young every few hours was tricky, sad. I was very sad. My parents were scared.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thankful that I had that medicine to take. But essentially, my body became used to that medication. So I kind of went back to square one of feeling entirely weak, even when I was taking this medication.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone knows prednisone, you're really not supposed to be on it for so long. So the goal was to kind of wean me off of that.
Right.
So essentially, I had to quit all sports that I played in high school. And I kind of spent a lot of my high school experience in the hospital getting transfusions every few months.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had a nurse come to my house every day after high school to help me with those transfusions as well. Mm-hmm. And they would make me feel better for about 2 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd kind of just, transfusion would kind of run out of my body and I would start back with another transfusion. But I knew I didn't want to be doing that for my whole life.
Of course.
I really wanted to live my life to the fullest. So I was very, very, very lucky enough to become a patient at the Mayo Clinic.
Right.
I had to wait till I was 16 to get, I had to be accepted as a patient for my case as the Mayo Clinic.
Right.
And I actually got surgery when I was 16 years old and I got a thymectomy, which took my thymus gland out of my chest. And as my parents say, within about an hour to 2 hours after that surgery, I was up in the hospital bed working on my homework that I was missing from school.
Holy cow.
And that is the day, May 17th, I turned the huge corner and am in remission.
That's amazing.
And I have probably taken medication 2 to 3 days since then in the past 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that the Mayo Clinic saved my life.
Yeah.
The doctors, their medical team, modern medication, and just hope.
That's
really
incredible. I remember that Mayo Clinic. Well, I remember you being there for that experience. It was about a month. Is that right? Few weeks?
I was there. Yeah, I went twice. I went once for testing. That is actually where I figured out I had myasthenia gravis, where I was diagnosed.
Right.
And that was a painful experience. They put a lot of needles in your...
Sure.
Yeah. But then I wasn't, in order to get this surgery that they recommended for patients with myasthenia gravis, you have to be 16 years old.
Right.
I was about 14 at the time.
Right.
So for those 2 years in between, I was doing the transfusions and the nurse come in my house. And then a few months after I turned 16, my family flew me back out there and we got this surgery. Mm. And I was the doctor said, like, a miracle patient. Typically can take a few years for this surgery to kick in to your body. And I was a few hours.
That's incredible.
So I remember my dad, he loved the Mayo Clinic. He went and bought like all the merch from the store at the Mayo Clinic. Whoever buys merch from a hospital, you know? I'll never forget it.
Merch from the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah. I would wear it still to this day because they saved my life. So
yeah. Well, God bless modern medicine and the Mayo Clinic. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I might have to get some Mayo Clinic merch.
I'm sure we can find some for you.
Yeah, some of these, you know, wristbands.
The best
or
doctors
what have you.
In the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, all right, last question about it. So you said it's in remission. So you have no more meds, none of that.
I'm back
obviously your strength and, you know, you're as beautiful as ever. So
Thank you. Yeah, I'm in remission. Thank God willingly.
Yeah.
And I hope I stay this way. I think with any autoimmune, it could stress and all of those factors of just life nowadays can affect it.
Right.
But I'm pretty good at controlling it and I'm not on any medication, but I've definitely felt some weakness here and there. But when I get nervous or just the typical stressors of life, but very good at maintaining it. And I'm back to working out.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of haven't had to have anyone help me do anything on my own lately. So I'm very,
work out a lot, right?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Making up for lost time.
That's good. That's good. And
it makes me feel good.
Yeah. I love the endorphins. Yeah. I don't feel like myself if I'm not, you know, breaking a sweat at least a few times a week. And then I want to back up it's okay if I bounce around a little. I wanted to hear just a little bit about High Point because High Point, from what I recall, is we did a little tour of High Point University, that is. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. Just the grounds and the campus, it is almost hard to describe.
Yeah,
just
it's
how
very
pristine
hard.
It is. And I know you have I don't know if mixed feelings are, is there right?
I do. At the end of the day, I'm extremely thankful I had the opportunity to go to High Point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go there for education and I've got a great job that I'm proud of and that challenges me. And that's what essentially you're going there. But as a young adult, going into college at that age is very hard for anyone. Not knowing anyone. Also, that was my first time leaving home, leaving Long Island.
Right, right.
Going to North Carolina. And this was a smaller school. So it essentially, in my eyes, kind of felt like a high school in a way. There was 5,000 people undergrad at High Point. And what we like to call it, the bubble. The whole the whole campus is gated, which for safety reasons, of course. But I really enjoyed from a education-wise, all classes were about 15 to 20 people.
Which is small, yeah.
I had such great, strong connections with each of my professors that I think that really helped me in my learning styles personally. But also, it was a struggle making friends at first. Mm-hmm. Also, while moving to a different state at such a young age, away from your family, and college is new for everyone. So I think I called my mom and dad a few times in the first year wanting to come home, but I'm glad that they encouraged me to stay.
That's a good word. I like that word, encouraged.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's probably a lot of freshman college students that get that call.
Yes.
We got that call.
Because it runs in the family.
Yeah, right, right.
No, I'm glad I stayed. I still have really great friends from High Point now. I am in touch with them. Actually, one of my roommates just had a baby last week.
Oh, wow,
so,
nice.
Like, I'm still very close with all of them. And we travel together every year. And I'm really grateful that I did stay because I don't know what I would do without them, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I know the president... I don't know him, but
Nito
I know
Cobain.
That the president, Nito Cobain, is really an incredible like rags to riches story, right? And he became one of Tom's idols.
Oh, yeah. I think my dad had bought every book he wrote.
Yeah.
And listen to all of his speeches, which I don't blame him. He was an unbelievable role model for that school. He's done so much for the town of High Point and everyone there. He was so personable. And he had an incredible story coming to the States himself, I think.
I think you're right.
I think with a few dollars on him and zero English experience. And now that school is expanding. I always say I still want to go back there to this day to see High Point because they've added so many new education buildings.
Mm-hmm. You should.
They've added a nail salon on campus.
Well,
they've added
go.
A bunch of awesome things. And we call it Disneyland or the bubble, as I said before. It was really it was an awesome place. It was hard, but I'm thankful that I went there and stayed there. I think it was the right place for me.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's pretty positive review, right? Of High Point.
I also don't know anything else, right?
Right. Well, I got no, that's true. But the environment there, from what I remember in my brief tour there,
it's
I think
tricky.
It was with Hannah. I mean, it's so pristine. It's so manicured. In some regards, it had more like it had somewhat of like a country club like vibe.
That was another one of our names, the country club.
The country club. Yeah.
We had a steakhouse on campus called Prime 1924.
Right.
And the president had this on campus for students. We can go once a week on our meal plan, no matter what your meal plan was. And it was a way for us students to learn how to proper eating etiquette for the real world. He was trying to prepare us for interviews and professional settings come our graduation, like our graduation days, post-graduation days.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. For the real world.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think I still talk about some things that I learned at that table. I think I might have learned the most from meeting at Prime. I really, I learned a lot and I think it was great. And also the food was phenomenal.
So, well, there you go.
Yeah. Can't complain.
No, I feel like more schools should do more of that kind of real life.
Yeah. It felt fake in a way. People say like, oh, High Point. We're like, felt like vacation, but no, it was great.
Your takeaways are great. So
thank you.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to go in reverse anymore. So we'll go. We'll go forward and maybe back to music just for a second, because one of the best, and well, I'll just say it this way. The Stones in Austin in 2021,
yeah,
it was a family affair and it was so amazing, but also so difficult and beautiful and all these things, because Tom was not with us physically. He was there spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I can speak for the rest of the family when I say it was just, it's hard to describe. Of course, the music, the Stones are the Stones and they never disappoint. But the irony of it being in Austin just about a year after we lost Tom was hard.
Yeah, I think looking back, I think before we went, in my head, I said it felt wrong doing that.
Yeah.
But now looking back at us all being there in Austin and Stones, I think we honored my dad in that way. Because he wouldn't want anything else. Of course, he would love to have been there, but he was there just
he
in
was.
A different way.
He was,
and,
yeah.
And he wouldn't want us to miss out on that, because that's just the kind of guy he was. He wouldn't want us to not do something.
Well, if you think about it, it was just a couple years prior at MetLife, where it was August 2019, and the Stones were in town, but Tom was up at the lake, which is, you know, north of 6+ hours away. But he didn't miss that. He drove all the way down.
Yeah.
He went barreling into the parking lot, right? And he was just so funny with the car, the Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. His Mercedes was his baby. And he had one little sticker on the back of his car of a tongue. It was very tiny, the Rolling Stones tongue, and that was all. Nothing else was allowed on it.
Maybe he had a little steal your face?
He did, actually. You're right.
Like, it was like the size of like a quarter, right?
Yep.
Or maybe a 50-cent piece or a dollar, whatever.
But yeah, he drove from the lake for that concert and met us all there. And I think he parked like miles away from everyone because he didn't want his car near anyone. but I do remember we all posed in front of the car because he had the sticker and we were happy he made it.
We were kind of like, Tom, we're over here.
Yeah. He's like, I'll see you guys in a little.
He's just giving his baby some space.
But he made it. That was the effort he put in for those concerts.
I think we had the whole family minus Margs and Lily. Marks and
Correct.
Lily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Hannah was there and Hope was there and the rest of the family. We've got some great, great shots.
We always have such fun time.
Yeah, yeah. And they're coming up, coming around again. So that was amazing. And yeah, Tom was certainly, he was there. Presently, I just wanted, without prying, I wanted to ask you if it's okay to chat a little bit about your significant other, who I'm a very big fan of. I think the whole family is.
I think so too.
Ryan. And well, let's talk about Ryan.
Ryan,
sorry,
Ryan, Ryan.
You know, here we go.
Ryan is my boyfriend. I am extremely happy with him. I met him in New York City, actually through Hinge,
believe it or not. I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, we met through Hinge and started dating when we both lived in the city. And I don't know if the city's for me, but I am glad when I lived there for 1 year, I met him. And that's why I'm thankful I moved to the city when I did. But Ryan is now in law school. He's at Duke in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in long distance.
Right.
It's hard, but it's worth it. And I'm very happy. I'm very motivated by him and his determination to follow what he wants to do. When he met me, he told me that he was thinking about law school. And he kind of gave me the option of if we should do long distance. And I was like, you know what? I think if it's the right person, it could work. And
sure.
He was right. He told me that.
Yeah.
We're making it work. I see him every month. I've become a frequent flyer of Delta. I've been upgraded to first class the past three flights because
really?
I'm Raleigh Durham's number one customer. But it's great. He's working his tail off, but I'm proud of him and very happy together. He's goofy. I've kind of gotten him into the music of I took him to Dead & Co. last summer.
Right.
And
right.
He was just like, these are some funky people. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah, the Deadheads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of those those people.
But yeah, I think.
He seems to compliment you well and vice versa.
Yeah.
He does. And he seems to, A, make you happy, which of course is, you know, what any of your family or your friends would want. Nothing more. Right?
Yeah, I'm very happy with him, and I'm lucky to have found him.
Yeah, yeah. I heard on a podcast this morning, it was like 15 ways to, you know, success tips or something like that. And one of the first ones, maybe it was even the first one, was, you know, work harder than anyone else. Meaning, you know, pay your dues, put your work in, and you will be rewarded. And I feel like, of course, you're doing it, but it sounds like Ryan's doing it too.
Yeah. He knows that law school is not easy, right? And it's also not easy when you're in a long-distance relationship. He has managing 12-plus hour work days and study hours. And
right.
He's very good about communicating, and we have great communication that it's helpful for our relationship. He's good about calling, and we always make time. And I admire him that he is still doing this. It's a short-term thing for it to be a long-term accomplishment of his.
Right.
He's got some big goals. He's definitely been a huge inspiration in my life, and he doesn't know that, but he really has.
Do you figure, I think the answer is probably yes, but do you think Ryan was always that kind of guy, that motivated, or was there something like clicked after college or something?
I think,
sometimes
of course,
it's
I didn't know him,
but yeah.
But right. I think he's always been that kind of a guy. He went
just
to Notre Dame, and he's a genius. So
that's great.
Yeah, I'm proud of him, but I can't wait till he graduates.
Right.
I am counting down the days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll
be
go
worth
fast.
It.
I like the way you phrased it. You said short term, I forget how you phrased it, short term work for long term gain, something like that.
Yeah, as we always talk about, there's some days where I'm complaining about, I wish he was home, or I wish I didn't have to fly to see him.
Yeah.
But this is temporary, and I know that. And he's doing something that he loves, so therefore I support it.
Right.
And he's focusing on himself, but also maintaining the relationship with me. And that's the best we can do right now. And like he always says, it's not permanent. It's just temporary.
Yeah.
And
he's right.
And he's setting himself up for
success.
A successful future, which is a big thing.
Tell me a little bit about your trip to Portugal.
Oh, that was very, very fun. I have never been to Portugal.
Yeah, I have a question when you're done.
And that was Ryan's first time in Portugal, actually. He lived in Switzerland for a few years. He went to high school there for a few years. So he's always been traveling to Europe. That was my second time in Europe. And we both knew he was going off to school. So we kind of wanted to do like one last hurrah vacation, the two of us. And I had just met him about 8 months prior. So it was the ultimate test if the two of us can go away to Europe for 8 days together. You know, I remember I remember we were all at your house.
I remember this
the day before we left.
Yeah.
And he mentioned something about like, oh, like, see you guys soon, or if all goes well, or like, hopefully. So
that's exactly what, well, I don't know if it was exactly how he said it, but I think we all agree. How long was the trip? 2 weeks?
We went for 8 days.
8 days, right?
Yeah.
Right. I think it was him, right, who said, either I'll see you and we'll still be together, or it was great knowing you guys.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work
out. I think that was how it went, which is funny. He's got a good sense of humor.
And when you came back, you were...
We came back together.
probably stronger than ever, right?
Yeah, you learn a lot about someone on vacation.
Yes, you do.
And thankfully, I learned a lot about all the good things.
Yeah.
So
Well, it's a lot of time together.
It is.
Right around the clock for, you know, 8+ days.
Yeah. But it was awesome. We went to Porto and Lagos.
Yeah.
And we went to a lot of different areas in Portugal for those 8 days. A lot of travel. So it was a really great experience. It was something definitely a bucket list place.
Well, traveling with your significant other or even your friends or, you know, your best buddy or whatever. Those experiences are the best.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And you should do more of it.
I know. I already had mentioned, I'm like, we should do another trip. And might have to pause that till graduation.
Yeah, that's okay.
But that's okay. Right. It'll be something to look forward to.
Speaking of that, I saw on your fridge the printout of that TJ gave Jean, right, for her 60th?
Yes, my brother.
Tell me about that.
So my mom has never been to Europe, and I know that was a bucket list vacation for her. It was for her, my dad, to go, but now that things are a little bit different, my brother so graciously gifted my mom a flight to Europe of her choice for her 60th.
And well, mom, right?
Well, that actually worked out for me too, because I also got a flight. So thanks for turning 60, Mom. No, that was my birthday present.
Well played, TJ.
Yeah. So I don't think my mom has made a decision yet, but we're waiting for her. She tells us when and where, and those flights will be booked. And I can't wait to be by her side when her first time is traveling to Europe. I'm thinking she's probably going to go Italy. Like, it's a good start.
I feel like you can't go wrong with Italy.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Maybe Ireland. She's Irish, but...
Maybe both. Maybe both.
Yeah.
Maybe start in Italy and go to Ireland or vice versa. Yeah, right. Right, exactly. That's going to be great.
But I'm excited, especially to travel with those two. We always have a good time. Actually, the three of us are heading to Austin in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, for a quick weekend.
Yeah.
Three of us, we always giggle and laugh and
You do.
Always have a good time. So,
well, the more time I get to spend with TJ here at DWS, I mean, I always knew TJ was funny, but he's really funny.
He's really funny.
He just has this, I don't know, this wit and this kind of the sarcasm. And I mean, he's so much like Tom, but he's got a little different sense of humor.
He's quick too.
Yeah, he's quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would take me a half an hour to think of something funny to say, but he says it before you're even like done thinking about it. Like, he's very, very funny. He makes me laugh.
Yeah. Well, and he's got your back.
Yes.
He's got your back.
I'm very, very thankful for him. He's my brother, but he's literally one of my best friends.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. God bless him. God bless you and Jean and, of course, Tom. Anything else on the horizon? I did learn a little secret, which I don't know if I knew before he told me, but TJ said, he said, you're quite the cook. He said that mom buys the food and you cook it.
It's working out pretty well. I'd say my mom agrees too. You know, like the I fly, you buy kind of vibe.
Yeah, right.
I'm cooking and mom helps pay for the food and it's working great. My mom doesn't always love being in the kitchen.
Right.
And I do. I think it's just been a coping method for me after losing my dad. And growing up watching my dad in the kitchen.
Yeah, he loved
his love for cooking.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into the smoker and the grill like he did.
Right.
But I am kind of overtaking the kitchen at home. Yeah. My mom's not complaining.
Right, right.
I love it. It's kind of a therapy for me in a way.
Right.
And
right.
I also love eating and trying new foods.
Well, you'd never know it because you're petite.
Thank you.
That's always a tough word. It's always hard to compliment a woman without making sure you don't say the wrong word.
Yeah, but cooking's definitely gone up there. And I actually, Uncle Timbo has complimented some of my meals. And that's the biggest that's the biggest compliment because he's the chef itself. I remember growing up, him and my dad would have their competitions of whose food is better, whose dish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or they'd debate about how to cook a filet something like that. And we had the easy part. We just showed up and ate it.
we would barely listen and just eat it. Like, all right, you two. But yeah, no, I think I've definitely grown a stronger. I've always loved cooking and I admired my dad's cooking, but I think it's kind of my way of being with him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Seems like there's one kind of avid chef in each family, you know.
Hope is
ours, and Timbo for sure at the Cox family, and you, all right.
Although TJ too, he's the grill master.
Yeah, right, right. He's gonna be we're gonna be putting a pig on a spit here at some point pretty soon. He's in charge. All right. Lastly, getting back to music for 1 second, Taylor Swift. is coming around. I don't know if she's coming east, but I know she's going to Florida in the fall. We should keep that on our bucket list.
I would love to go to one of her concerts.
Yeah.
It's been
too long. Yeah.
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 I think that would be a full circle moment for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that on your radar. All right.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, sweetheart. I love you.
I love you too.
And I think today was a home run.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I love you very much.
IFE. As it were your own, it's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know.